الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد خاتم النبيين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، this is our fourth lesson, inshallah. The third lesson as it relates to the sharh of At-Tadhkira li Ibn Mulaqqin rahimahullah fi ulum al-hadith, science of hadith. And last week, I believe we dealt with some affairs pertaining to Sahihain, Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari. We also dealt with affairs pertaining to Ad-Da'f al-Ladhi Yanjabr, the weak hadith that can be supported. Also, we dealt with Mutasil Sah and Musnad. And the third was Al-Marfu'. Okay, regarding the Sahihain, which is the most authentic, Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim? And who says that Sahih Muslim is the most authentic? Jibreel. Al-Bukhari is more authentic. And who says that Sahih Muslim is more authentic? Ahl-Maghrib. Why do Ahl al-Maghrib say that Sahih Muslim is more authentic? Waleed? The structure and the organization of Sahih Muslim. Yani the suhula, the eases in which the order of the ahadith and the abwab and the chapters have been designed in Sahih Muslim. Tayyib, Sahih Bukhari is more authentic, sah? How many different aspects did we touch up on last week? Waleed?
Three
different aspects. The first one, Abu Bakr?
Regarding the
chain. The connectiveness of the chain. Al-Ittisal, yes? Okay, what did we say about Ittisal? Naam. The shart in Bukhari is Thabut al-Liqa. Yani, all of the narrators have to have not just lived in the same time, or same city even, but there has to be proof that's established that they have met. Okay, tayyib. Imam Muslim, what does he say? What's the shart in Imam Muslim? Naam, al-mu'asara. It's enough for al-mu'asara. Imkan. That's a nice, important part. Imkan al-liqa. There's a possibility that they have met. It's a positive possibility that they have met in that same period of time. Tayyib, another aspect of where Bukhari is asah min Sahih Muslim. Waleed? Naam. The wurwa al-mutakallamu fihim. Tayyib, those narrators that have been spoken about in Bukhari are less than those that have been spoken about in Sahih Muslim. And Imam Bukhari would have an answer to answer those who may criticize some of his narrators. And what would his answer, what could his answer have been? Anwar. Naam. They are from his, the majority of those spoken about in Sahih Bukhari, the narrators, are from the shuyukh of Imam al-Bukhari. But as for Imam Muslim, majority are not from his shuyukh. Tayyib, next. What do you mean? Who's shurut? Are you talking about Hakim? I think you're talking about Al-Hakim in Mustadrak, yeah? Because he didn't do tanqih, remember? He didn't revise his book. No, that's Hakim, yeah? Okay. Talib? Naam, there's more shudud, there's more hadith shadh that people have accused of being shadh, remember. In Sahih Muslim, then in Bukhari. Any others? Ahsant. Imam Muslim was a student of Imam al-Bukhari. And also there's ijma on what? It's ittifaq that Bukhari is a'lam min Imam Muslim, that Bukhari is more knowledgeable than Imam Muslim as it relates to the ilm of hadith. The ilm of hadith. That's why he's called Amir al-Muhaddithin. It's called the Amir, yani the number one from the ulama of hadith, because of his ilm and his difference between him and others, and from those is Imam Muslim. Now, okay, let's continue for today's lesson, inshallah. And before we do that, al-marfu', what's al-marfu'? Al-marfu', what's al-marfu'? If you read a book, in a books of takhrij, in a books of hadith, and they say, rafa'ahu aw dhakrahu marfu'a, he says it's marfu'. What does marfu' mean? Now, from Rafa'a, raised to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is where we ended last week. Sahih wala. Now we're going to do Ma'rifatul Mawquf. Ma'rifatul Mawquf. And that is that Ibn Mulaqim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Wal Mawqufu wa huwa al marwiyu an al sahabati qawlan aw fi'la aw nahwihi muttasilan kana aw munqati'a wa yusta'malu في غيرهم مقيدا فيقال وقفه فلان على عطاء ونحوه. He says رحمه الله ابن ملقين that الموقوف وهو المروي is a narration that has been narrated on or attributed to the Sahaba, attributed to the companions, whether it's a statement of the companion number one or it's an action of the companion number two, or its lights. When he says aw nahwihi yani taqrir, aw nahwihi yani a taqrir, like something that the sahaba has acknowledged, something that the sahaba has acknowledged. Na'am. So when he says nahwihi la'allahu yaqsud, perhaps he means taqriri, yani that which the sahaba has acknowledged and accepted in his presence. Muttasilan, whether it's connected chain wise kana aw munqati'a, or there is a missing link in the chain. No matter what it is, as long as it's attributed to the Sahaba, then it's mawquf. Just like al-marfu', no matter how the chain is, whether it's authentic, or there is tadlis, or there is irsal, as long as it's attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's marfu'. So likewise, as long as the narration is yudaf or yuntasabila ahad al-sahaba, then the one of the companions is attributed to any of the companions, then we know that is mawquf. Wa yusta'malu, and it's also used fi ghayrihim. It's also used for other than him, yani from the tabi'een. Yani it can be attributed to the tabi'een, the meaning waqf. Mawquf can be attributed to the tabi'een, muqayyada, but it has to be mentioned restrictively. Muqayyada, meaning you have to mention the name. When he says muqayyada, it means you have to mention the name of the tabi'i. So for example, if you see in a book of hadith where there's a takhrij and they say mawquf, then you know it's who? Sahaba, because it's not restricted. It's left indefinite. But if it is attributed to one of the tabi'i, lughatan, that's what you mean here, muqayyada, you say waqafahu fulan ala ata, yani Ibn Abi Rabah. He made a waqf, yani Fulan ala ata. So ata is from the tabi'in in the matan that you have there. So it's muqayyad bi dhikri ismi ata. So it's made restricted by mentioning the name of ata. But if you mention it in absolute sense, mawquf, then it is known that it's to who? The sahaba. And that is because a mawquf means stop. Yani it stopped at the sahaba. But if you're going to stop it other than the sahaba, you have to mention their name, so one can know that they're not from the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. This is a general explanation of al-mawquf. As for tafsil, we're going to deal with it in points, inshallah. The definition, number one, the definition of salamukum Allah al-mawquf. Point number one, the definition. I think it's absolutely clear from the kalam of Ibn Mulaqin, the definition. But we can make an easier definition, okay? Are you ready? Ma udifa ila sahabi min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqririn tasrihan aw hukma. And that's from Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimullah. Ma udifa ila sahabi min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqririn tasrihan aw hukma. And that is that which has been attributed to the companions, whether it's from their statements or their actions or something they have acknowledged clearly, meaning it's clearly attributed to them, or it takes a ruling of it being attributed to them. It takes a ruling for it being attributed to them. And it taking a ruling for it attributed to them, yani hukman, it means that, for example, the tabi'i. A tabi'i will say, I saw Abu Bakr, ra'aytu Abu Bakrin fa'ala kada wa kada. I saw Abu Bakr doing this and that. This is hukman, because it's not Abu Bakr that has been saying it, is the tabi'i that's narrating it. Just like you have hukman marfu'. You have marfu' hukman, and that is when the sahaba is saying, umirna, we were commanded by the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So malish, an example of hukman more clear, clearer would be, amarana Abu Bakr bidhalik, for example. Abu Bakr commanded us with this. This is awdah shay. Amarana Abu Bakr bi kada wa kada. Yani a tabi'i will say that Abu Bakr told us to do this, commanded us to do this. Or we were commanded in the times of the Sahaba. Okay? So the definition is ma udifa ila sahabi min qawlin aw fi'lin taqririn tasriha aw hukma. That which has been attributed to the Sahaba from his statements, actions, or that which is acknowledged, whether it's clearly from the Sahaba, or some of the tabi'een have mentioned that which has the meaning of mawquf. Point number two. يُسْتَعْمَلُ فِي غَيْرِهِمْ كَتَابِعِينَ مُقَيَّدًا. And that is that mawquf can be used to other than for other than the sahaba if it's mentioned restrictively. Naam? And that's like وَقَفَهُ فُلَانَ عَلَى عَطَاءَ أَوْ عَلَى الزُّهْرِ and the likes. As we mentioned, that if a tabi'i is mentioned in there with taqeed in the ibarah of mawquf, that the mawquf, it being stopped at the tabi'i, but the tabi'i's name has to be mentioned. But if it's mentioned without, yani mawquf, it's mentioned without mentioning the tabi'i, stating the tabi'i's name, then it's considered as a sahabi. Point number three is what Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions regarding he attributed to the fuqaha of Khurasan, from the jurist in Khurasan, that they will say mawquf bima'na al-athar. They will say mawquf is al-athar. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions here in Ba'ith as well. So you look in Ba'ith, you find that Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this as well. That some of the ulama, they say mawquf ma'na al-athar, and then al-khabar, yani an hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-athar, they say, is mawquf. Al-athar is mawquf, and khabar is marfu, yani an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the ulama said there is no difference. So it depends on the istilah that the ulama they use. So when we have ma'rifatul sunan wal-athar, ma'rifatul sunan wal-athar, this book, when we have Ma'rifatul Sunan wal Athar, is a book of hadith. We know Sunan, yani marfu, al Athar. Huh? Ma'rifatul Sunan wal Athar, the book. Ma'rifatul Sunan. Sunan, two categories in the book. The recognition and knowledge of the Sunan, and the recognition and knowledge of the Athar. The Sunan is what? the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marfu, and athar sahaba. So he has that istilah in his book. Jameel. طيب. Point number four. Point number four. مثال الموقوف القولي. الموقوف القولي. Because we're going back, we're basing this upon the definition that we had for موقوف. What's the definition for الموقوف, إخوة؟ Waleed. Arabic. من قول حكمة نعم. That which is مأضيفة, that which has been ascribed to the Sahaba. من قول. From his قول. So the first category we're going to mention here is مثال, an example of الموقوف القولي. And that's like the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib. قال علي ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه حدثوا الناس بما يعرفون أتريدون أن يكذبوا الله ورسوله. This is موقوف قولي. And that is a mawquf through the statement of the Sahaba. The statement of the Sahaba. And the example of this is that which is attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, where he said, speak to the people according to their levels. Do you want them to deny Allah and His Messenger? Na'am. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib, mawquf, qawli. Statement of Ali, Sahabi, mawquf, na'am. مثال موقوف الفعلي is like the statement of Imam al-Bukhari وَأَمَّا إِبْنَ عَبَّاسِ وَهُوَ مُتَيَمَّمُ. يعني Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى, he did tayammum. So Imam al-Bukhari says أَمَّا, he mentioned the action of Abdullah ibn Abbas, يعني he did tayammum. This is موقوف. موقوف what? فعلي. And موقوف التقريري is كقول بعض التابعين, like the statement of some of the تابعين, فعلت كذا أمام أحد الصحابة ولم ينكر علي. فعلت كذا أمام أحد الصحابة ولم ينكر علي. I did this or certain action in front of the companions and they did not rebuke me, tell me off, tell me I was doing anything wrong. Yani they acknowledged it. So this is مثال الموقوف التقريري. مثال الموقوف التقريري. Point number five. In the definition we have حكمة. So we've mentioned the تصريحة. We've given examples of that which is explicitly expressed to the Sahaba. But we want to talk about something called المرفوع حكمة. We've done this in بيقونية last year. Can anybody remember what المرفوع حكمة is? From last year when we did Al-Bayquniyya. Al-Marfu Hukman. That which takes the ruling of Marfu. Naam. So generally, a Marfu Hukman is a statement of the Sahaba, which in one way or another, we can allude that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that. And there are different categories of that which we're going to deal with now. This is point number five. And that is when it's a statement of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And that statement is a statement which in its apparent is mawquf, but in its essence is marfu. Yani it has to have come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, some of the ulama have mentioned regarding that, and this is taken from the ulama of hadith. In lam yadifhu ila zamin al-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fahuwa mawquf. So if the sahabi, when he says a statement and he doesn't attribute it to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't say in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam we did this. If he says we used to do this, some of the ulama says that that's mawquf. And Ibn Salah and Khatib al-Baghdadi mentioned that. And likewise, al-Nawawi. Shall I repeat it? Naam. And that is, in lam yadifhu ila zamanin nabi. When the Sahabi, he makes a statement or what have you, and he doesn't attribute it to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Sahabi lived after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they don't attribute it to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is mawquf, it's not marfu. And Ibn Salah mentioned this, and Khatib al-Baghdadi, he mentioned this, and An-Nawawi narrated upon a group of the muhaddithun, the ulama of hadith, and the people, ulama of fiqh as well, regarding this. And amthila to dhalik, the example of this. Are you with me with this surah? And that is that the Sahabi, he's mentioned a statement, but he doesn't say it was done at the time of who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's like the statement of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu anhu, kunna idha sa'idna kabirna, wa idha nazalna sabbahna. And that is the statement where he said that we used to, when we go, yani traveling, we ascend, we say Allahu Akbar. And when we descend, yani in our travels, whether it's going uphill or downhill, we say Subhanallah. When we used to ascend in traveling, we say Allahu Akbar. And when we used to descend in traveling, we say Subhanallah. Is this marfu or mawquf? Kunna. إِذَا صَعِدْنَا كَبَّرْنَا وَإِذَا نَزَّلْنَا صَبَّحْنَا. Is that marfu or mawquf? It's mawquf because he didn't mention it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wadih? Naam. Number two. I mean, this. Let's say this is number five, but this is number two of number five. Okay? Wadih? So still a number... It's on their own action. You need the affirmation that it was done at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it wasn't ijtihad. Naam. But some of the ulama will say yes, you can do it on that in following the way of the Sahaba. In following the way of the Sahaba. And again, there could be khilaf in that as well. They'll say they would not have done this ibadah except if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But generally, that's just an example of it not being said. That is during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that is khilafat. Okay, number two from number five, part two of number five. وَإِنْ أَضَافَ فَالصَّحِيحُ الَّذِي قَطَعَ بِهِ الْجُمْهُورُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ وَالْأُصُولِ أَنَّهُ مَرْفُوعٌ. And if it is attributed to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that which is sahih, that the jumhur of the majority of the ulama of hadith and usul, they'll say that is marfu' if it is attributed to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the example of this is the statement of Jabir radiyallahu ta'anhu again. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu an, kunna na'zil ala ahdi nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wal Qur'anu yanzil. And that is that Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said that we used to practice coitus interruptus. You know what that is? Now, we used to practice coitus interruptus ala ahdi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst the Quran was being revealed. And he said, ala ahdi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is marfu, according to the correct opinion. According to the correct opinion. Now here, it's mentioned as sahih. First sahih, that which is correct, which means that there are people who oppose. And those who oppose, who went into ghulu and said that la, it is not from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Zahiriya. You know Zahiriya? Ibn Hazm, rahimullah, and the rest of those upon that fiqh, that madhab, they said la, they're very shadeed and very extreme in the affair of mawquf. But that which is correct is that when he says ala ahdi nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is marfu. Why? Because the Quran yanzil, and this is the proof of mawquf hukman. Marfu hukman. This hadith is what the ulama of hadith use as a proof to show that there is marfu hukman. Yani there are statements of the Sahaba which, when they state that it was done at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's directly or they elude, then it is considered mawquf. It is considered, marfu'. It's considered marfu'. It's considered the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is this a proof? Because at the end he says what? Well, Quran yanzil. Well, Quran yanzil, meaning the Quran yanzil, and if it was wrong, Allah would have revealed that it was wrong. Wadih? So likewise, we take that ruling for all of the other affairs. If, when the Sahaba, they mention these statements of it being at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directly or indirectly, if it was incorrect, Allah would have revealed that it was not to be done and so forth. Well, Quran yanzil. So this is a hujjah that the ulama, they use to refute the Zahiriyya. To refute who? The Zahiriyya. And inshallah, we'll be doing a test, ikhwah, and some of these questions are going to be asked, inshallah. Number three. From the part three, from the statements of the Sahaba that is marfu', كُنَّ لَا نَرَى بَأْسًا بِكَذَا فِي حَيَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And that is كُنَّ لَا نَرَى. The ulama, they use this ibara. كُنَّ لَا نَرَى بَأْسًا بِكَذَا فِي حَيَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And that is that we never used to see this as a problem, doing this action, a specific action. We never saw it as a problem during the life of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And again, we use the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, sah? Well, Quran mada? Yanzil. Fi hayati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran was being revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have corrected the Sahaba through the wahi revelation if it was not something that was good. But they never saw it as bas. It was okay. Number four. Part of number three, I'm going to add some more to that. They mentioned kunna nara, we used to see, number one. Number two, wa huwa fina, and he was amongst us, yani Rasulullah. So number one, we used to see at a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. And another example of this section, part three, is when they say wa huwa fina, or kunna inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or we were with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this isn't the Messenger speaking sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it's a Sahaba saying we were with him and this happened. So now it becomes marfu because the Messenger was there. وَلَا يَجُوزْ تَأْخِيرُ الْبَيَانِ عِنْدَ إِشْ وَقْتِ الْحَاجَةِ. It is not from, it's impermissible to delay correcting of something that is wrong in its time of need. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was min ansah nas. He was from the most of advisors, and if the Sahaba did this in his presence and he didn't say anything, then we know that it is marfu, it is from the Sunnah. Now, part four now. And that is qawlu sahabi, umirna bikada. Umirna bikada. We were commanded to do this. Aw nuhina an kada. We were prohibited from doing this. أو من السنة كذا. It is from the sunnah to do this. So part four again. قول الصحابي أمرنا بكذا. We were commanded. The second one, إخوة. We were prohibited. نهينا. The third one, إخوة. Huh? من السنة كذا وكذا. As for أمرنا, this is the أقوى. This is the ulama of hadith in the munaqasha, in Ba'ith and Fathul Maghith and all of them. The nice munaqasha, so go back to them, inshallah, ya ikhwa, and read these things. It's nice discussions. But umirna is from the aqwa. Okay? As for an-nuhina, as for min as-sunnah, some of the ulama that say it could be from a sahaba. Why? Because of the hadith and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafai al-rashideen. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his sunnah, and also mentioned the sunnah of the khulafa. So which sunnah is meant? Naam. But we know that from the Sahaba when they say that, as the ulama have said, wa min as-sunnah is mu'arraf, is that which is mu'arrafa, and is known, and that is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if it's a sunnah, it's not ascribed to anyone specifically, then we know that it is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like the issue of mawquf, when you say al-mawquf, who is it? Sahaba. When you say min as-sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جميل. An example of this is the hadith, which was a part four, is Atiyah, Amrana, يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نخرج في العيدين عوائق وذوات الخدور وأمر الحيد أن يعتزلنا مصلي المسلمين. And this is a hadith that is مشهور. And that Umatiyah رضي الله عنها said أمرنا, didn't mention the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's name, أمرنا أن نخرج. So we know in the time of the Sahaba, أمرنا is meaning the messenger commanded us to come out for the Eid prayer, the virgins, those women that are in seclusion, and he commanded the women in menstruation to step away from the praying area, but to attend the Eid Salah, but step away from the praying area. This is from Atiyah, and this is Marfu Hukman, because she says that the messenger, or alluded that the messenger commanded, that the messenger commanded. Point number five, part five. This is what the brother mentioned, and that is من المرفوع أيضا ما جاء عن الصحابة. That which comes المرفوع is that which comes from the صحابة. مثاله لا يقال من قبل الرأي. لا يقال من قبل الرأي. يعني something that cannot be said from one's opinion. And the صحابة are free from speaking about Allah and His Messenger without دليل. ولا مجال الاجتهاد. There's no way that they can come with their own ruling. فيحمل على السماع, and then it is taken as that they heard it from the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are a few different affairs that come into this part five category. What is five? The category number five again, please, akhwa. And that is when the sahabi says something that what? Number one, there's no room for opinion or ijtihad. It has to be heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they saw him, or it was acknowledged. Fahimtum? It was acknowledged. Tayyib. We're going to mention examples of this now. Number one. And also some of the ulama also mentioned, وَلَا لَهُ تَعَلُّقْ بِبَيَانِ لُغَى. وَلَا لَهُ تَعَلُّقْ بِبَيَانِ لُغَى أَوْ شَرْحُ غَرِيبُ. Yani it mustn't be, it's not connected to the Sahaba, for example, explaining the meanings, linguistic meanings in certain hadith, like we find in some of the Athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We don't say it's from the Messenger. This is his sharh. This is the fahm of the Sahaba when they're making the sharh and they're making the gharib, explaining the strange, rarely used words. Gharib, yani rarely used vocabulary in the sunnah of the Messenger. The Sahaba would explain it. This is not Sunnah, this is from the fahm of Sahaba. We don't say it's marfu. So it has to be these three general conditions. It mustn't be ijtihad. Number two, it mustn't be what? Ra'i. Naam. Okay, and the next one is affairs that are ikhbar and al-umur al-madiyah min bad'il khalqi wa akhbar al-anbiya. When these narrations from the Sahaba is pertaining to informing us of the affairs that happened in the past, from the previous nations, and from when the revelation began, and the information and stories of the prophets, then this has to be from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam generally. Now, number three, and that is that if they come with affairs of fitan and ahwal yawm al-qiyamah, those affairs of the hereafter, this has to be from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the Sahaba, they mention affair of Adab al-Qabr, or they mention affair of the Sirat, or they mention affair of anything to do with Barzakh, or they mention affairs of describing Jannah, or they mention affairs of describing Nar, describing punishments in Nar, describing the blessings in Jannah, then this is marfu hukman, because this is la majal lil ijtihad. There is no way that they can come up with this except it's from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final one that we're going to mention, example, which there are many, but we just mentioned these four. Number four, amma yahsul bi fi'lihi thawabun makhsusun aw iqabun makhsus. And that is when the Sahabi, they mentioned anything pertaining to particular reward for ibadah. a particular reward for any type of worship, or a particular punishment for a sin. This is considered marfu hukman, because the Sahaba would not mention the reward for a deed or the punishment for a sin, except that they got it from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I mentioned four. The first one is that it mustn't be a sharh. It mustn't be what? A sharh. And add to that as well, it mustn't be a sahabi alladhi ya'khudh an ahl kitab. It mustn't be a companion that takes from the people of the book. Yani, so his story, he mentions of those before, from the nations before, he may have got it from some of the ulama of the people of the book. The Jews and the Christians, and they told him his story. If he's somebody who takes from them, Israeliyat, then it is feared that maybe that one of his statements is taken from them and not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jameel. Okay, let's move on, shall we? Al-Maqtu'. I think we spent a lot of time on the Mawquf. And if you want to find out more on Mawquf, then go to Nukhbat al-Fikr, Bahith al-Hathith, and also Fath al-Maghith of al-Sakhawi. The end of Fath al-Maghith is nice. And also Mujallad al-Awwal, the first volume in Bahith, mentions it on page 147. A nice little discussion. Not too long, but daqiq. 147, volume 2. From Bahith al-Hathith. Jameel. Next one, Ma'rifat al-Maqtu'. He says, Rahimullah, وَالْمَقْتُوعُ وَهُوَ الْمَوْقُوفُ عَلَىٰ أَتَابِعِي قَوْلًا أَوْ فِعْلًا. قَوْلًا أَوْ فِعْلًا. And that is, al-Maqtu' is that which is stopped, is attributed to the tabi'i. Which is attributed to the tabi'i. And add to that, so we can save time, is attributed to the tabi'i and other than them, which is the qawl al-rajih. So the tabi'i, wa atba tabi'i, yani those second and third and so forth generations after the sahaba, if there is a narration attributed to any of them, those second, third generations and so forth, then it is maqtur. Then it is maqtur. Whether it's his statement or his actions. Whether it's his statement or his actions. Point number two. Point number one, we can add, sorry. Point number one just mentioned that it is not only restricted to the tabi'i, but is also to the atba, a tabi'i. This is a qawl rajih. That it is also to attributed to the followers of the second generation. If they, for example, we have a qala Imam Ahmed, for example. This is what? What is it? Maqtur. Qala Imam Malik. Also Qala al-Hasan. Maqtur. Both, all of them in those two generations are Maqtur. Maqtur.
Is it
Man Ba'dahum
or just
At-Tabi'in? The Ibarah that Hafidh mentioned, I believe Hafidh mentions it. Naam, Hafidh, he says, shall I give you his definition? Hafidh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, the definition of maqtu', zakalakha waleed, jayid, best that we give the daqiq definition, ma udifa ila tabi'i aw man dunahu. Ma udifa ila tabi'i aw man dunahu min atba'i tabi'in fa man ba'dahum. Min qawlin aw fi'lin wa nahwi dhalik. Shall I say it again? Huh? مَا أُضِيفَ إِلَى التَّابِعِ أَوْ مَنْ دُونَهُمْ مِنْ أَتْبَاعِ التَّابِعِينَ فَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ فِعْلٍ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. And that is self-explanatory, as I can see you understand, mashallah, that which is attributed to the tabi'i, second generation, or other than them, from the third generation, and those after them. This is asah. Although Ibn Mulaqin, obviously he holds it's who? Tabi'i. But his student holds that it is not just the tabi'in, those after them, Naam. This is the rajih, Naam. Point number three. Mithal al-maqtu' al-qawli. An example of maqtu' al-qawli. Qawlu al-Hasan, which is in Bukhari. And ذكر البخاري تعليقا قول حسن رحمه الله تعالى في الصلاة خلف المبتدع صلي وعليه بدعته صلي وعليه بدعته حسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى he said regarding praying behind the person of innovation he said pray يعني pray and upon him is his innovation يعني this bid'ah غير مكفرة يعني it's not a bid'ah that takes one out of Islam is mufassaq, that bid'ah which is not take does not take an individual of Islam, pray behind them and upon him, yani upon his neck is his bid'ah, not upon you. This is maqtur. Do we say it's hadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is the fahm of who? Sa'd. It's a fatwa. It's a fahm. Fatwa from Hasan al-Basri rahimullah regarding praying behind a mubtadi' and he is correct. Naam. هذا مثال المقطوع القولي. And this is mentioned by Bukhari ta'liqan. This is mentioned by Bukhari ta'liqan. Why did Bukhari mention this ta'liqan, Jibreel? Why did Imam al-Bukhari mention this qawl of Hassan, rahimullah, ta'liqan? Mention it mu'allaq, not mentioning isnad. It's not from his shurut, it's not from his conditions. It's so he mentioned it just to show the fiqh of the salaf. To show the understanding and the fiqh of the salaf. This is why Sahih Bukhari is azim. And he has to be studied with ulama. Sheikh Mibaz has a sharh of Sahih Bukhari. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad has sharh of Sahih Bukhari. Umar Falata, you have Rahimullah, you have Sheikh Ubaid has done some parts in Sahih Bukhari, they're online. If we can't go get it from them by traveling to the ulama, go online and listen to these shurahat. And it help us understand how amazing this book of Sahih Bukhari is in the fiqh and the fawaid, the benefits that one can get from it. So this is maqtu' al-qawli, and that is the statement of Hassan. Huh? Bukhari mentioned it to show the fiqh, a fatwa from the salaf. But he didn't mention it with his chain because it didn't meet his condition of ittisal. Okay, but it shows that he's holding that fiqh. He's holding that fiqh. Okay. Mithal al-maqtu' al-fi'li. An example of maqtu' from the action is qawli Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Muntashir. The statement of Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Muntashir, which is in al-Hilya of Abu Na'im, which is al-Hilya of Abu Na'im, and that is kana masruq from the tabi'i yurkhi al-sitr baynahu wa bayna ahlihi wa yaqbil ala salatihi wa yukhallihim wa dunyahum. And this is the actions of Masruq, that Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Muntashir, he said that Masruq will put a veil, a screen, between him and his family so he can be in seclusion to pray. And so, and the ulama, they've mentioned this athar to show the importance of ikhlas, even with your family. That he didn't want his family, so he fall into riya in front of his family. So he would put the screen between him and his family, and then he will pray and leave them to their worldly affairs. Okay, this is the action by putting that screen. Action by who? A Sahaba or Tabi'i? Naam. So this is what? Mawquf or Maqtu'? Maqtu'. Okay, point number four. Sah? Naam. Point number four is that some of the ulama have mentioned al-maqtu' with the meaning of al-munqati'. That's Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah. Imam Shafi'i in his istilah, and is mentioned in his al-risala, he used to use the term munqati', which is disconnected, as a meaning for maqtu'. So if you read the works of Imam Shafi'i, this is probably what he means. When he says hadith munqati', he means really maqtu'. And this is a istilah that he has, but that which is from the majority of scholars is that the ibara and the word that is used rather is the lafz that is used is al-maqtu'. But you may find munqati, and the ulama always mention this. Ibn Hajar mentions it in Nukat, Ibn Kathir mentions it in Bahith, and also Sakhawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions it in Fathul Maghith to show the talib al-ilm that when they see, for example, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him, can't remember who else, they use this lafz, then you know that they mean, sometimes they mean what? Maqtu. So you need to do a bit more bath to find out the real essence of the statement. Now, finally, the books in which you can find mawquf and maqtu'. Yani, we had, what are the books that we mentioned that is predominantly used as a reference for marfu'? Bukhari, Muslim, the Sunan, Arba, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, the Muwatta of Imam Malik. These are generally narrations about marfu', generally. Although you will find some a hadith mawqufa in there for one or other reason. Now, I'm going to give you some names of books, compilations of books of hadith that are specifically used for al-mawquf and al-maqtu'. Why do we need to know this? And that is if you want to double check the authenticity of some of the athar of the salaf, because they mention it with isnad, then we go to these books. Okay? And Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he does this a lot. If there's an athar, you go to Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, number one. Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, and Ibn Abi Shayba, rahimahullah, he died in the year 235. The Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. Another Musannaf, number two, Abdul Razak. Musannaf of Abdul Razak. If you want to find the athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you want to find the athar of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the athar and narrations of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Umar and the rest of the Sahaba, it's good to start there in your takhrij or in your bath. Number three, Kutub al-Tafasir al-Ma'thur. Yani Kutub al-Tafasir that have athar, that have narrations and have asanid. And from them is the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. The tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, who died in the year 310. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Abdul Razak died in the year 211. And al-Tabari, he died in the year 310. So they have al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala. If you look in his tafsir, he has a lot of athar and explanations of the Quran and ayat from the Sahaba, mawquf, and from who? The Tabi, and he brings them in a nice tartib, very, very beautifully done by him, rahimullah ta'ala. And another tafsir is the tafsir of Ibn Abi Hatim. The tafsir of Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Munzir. So Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Munzir. These books concentrate predominantly on the mawqufat, those hadith, those statements of the Sahaba, actions and acknowledgements, and also the maqtu'at, those statements, actions, and acknowledgement of the tabi'i and those after them, up until their generation. And Ibn Abi Hatim died in 327, and Ibn Mundhir died 241. So they're going to have narrations before them. Narrations before them. Jade. Okay, I'm going to ask you about the dates that I'll give you as well, inshallah, and the books. Okay, then he says, let's move on. Wal munqati' wa huwa ma lam yattasil isnaduhu ala ayyi wajhin kan. Munqati', he mentions Ibn Mulaqqin rahimullah, is that which there is not a connection in the chain in any specific place of the isnad, when there is not a connection in the chain, وَهُوَ مَا لَمْ يَتَّصِلْ إِسْنَادُهُ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ وَجْهٍ كَانْ. Any specific place in the chain. This is quite simple. The munqati is the general illa for, or term that's used for anything that there is leakage or non-connection in the chain. So we do with number one, point number one. Point number one. And that is that the correct opinion is munqati' is when there is one missing in the any part in the chain. There's one missing in any part of the chain. And that is that the mutaqaddimun, they say, أَنَّ الْمُنْقَطِعِ هُوَ كُلُّ مَا لَمْ يَتَصِلْ إِسْنَادُهُ عَلَى أَيْ وَجْهٍ كَانَ إِنْقِطَاعًا سَوَاءً كَانَ سَاقِطًا مِنْهُ الصَّحَابِي أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. Whether it's a sahabi that is missing, or whether it's a tabi'i that's missing in the chain, or other than them, then this is munqati'. This is munqati'. And Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this is sahih. And this is mentioned by Khatib al-Baghdadi, and also Ibn Abd al-Barr. And that is, they say, عَلَيْهِ يَكُونَ الْمُنْقَطِعِ أَصْلًا عَامٌ تَنْدَرُ تَحْتُ أَنْوَالِ الْقِطَاعِ. And that is that al-munqati is the origin of all of those parts and sciences of hadith dealing with missing individuals in a chain. Missing individuals in a chain. Now, and last point is that munqati is da'if and it's weak, and that is ijma, and that is a consensus amongst the ulama of hadith. Very simple. And we'll touch more on al-inqita', because when we talk about the different al-inqita', we done it in Bayquniya last year, do you remember them? What are those affairs where there was individuals missing in the chain from what we studied in Bayquniya last year? Al-mu'dal, al-mursal, al-mu'allaq, mudallis, depending which tadlis it is, whether there's a saqit, there's somebody missing bayna shaykhain, sah? That's ittisal issue there, okay? But all of them are inqita and are related to inqita, yani they're being a missing link in the chain. And we'll, as we're talking about all of them one by one, which we're going to deal with one by one, we will get to discuss more about al-inqita. Do we have time to continue? How do you feel? Because this one may take a bit of time, mursal. Should we do mursal now or next week? Let me choose one person. Akhi, mursal now or next week? Do it now? Now? Yalla, bismillah. Ma'arifat al-mursal. I don't want to burden you, you know? Allah ihfadhukum. والمرسل وهو قول تابعي وإن لم يكن كبيرا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And المرسل is the statement of who? A tabi'i, even if he's not from the elder ones. When he says, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said this. I'm going to give a brief discussion about the point here that Ibn Mulaqin mentions. Why did he say, وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ كَبِيرًا? It's because some of the ulama hold that the condition, it must be kabir. But there is no condition. Any tabi'i, he's saying, which is the correct opinion, that says, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, then this is considered mursal. So for example, when Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is considered what? Mursal. Why? Because he is tabi and he didn't hear or meet the Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam? Okay. An example of this. Point number one. Let's go for the example straight away. I'm going to avoid some discussions that may take time, inshallah. Just try and keep it as succinct and concise as possible. Bi-idhnillahi rabbil arshalazim. Point number two, we're going to skip. We mentioned nam, labas. And that is mithaluhu ma rawahu shafi'i min tariq mujahid. Annahu qala kana nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuthiru min atalbiya labayk allahumma labayk. And that is that which Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in the musnad of al-Shafi'i. It's in the Musnad of a Shafi'i. The Musnad of a Shafi'i, rahimullah, that he said that Mujahid said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make apparent, yani speak out, mention aloud the talbiyah, yani labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Mujahid tabi'i, ulam yudrik Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mujahid is who? From the second generation. And he did not mention or meet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is a missing link between him and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is mursal. So it is mursal. What is the sabab that the ulama do not accept the hadith mursal? Did we do this in Baykunia? I think we did. Yes, Waleed. Why would the ulama not not accept al-mursal hadith? Ahsan. We don't know. Remember when we mentioned the Da'if al-Adhi and Jabir? Do you remember? And we mentioned that some of the injibar, those narrations that can be strengthened, that are weak, is because there are those narrations where we don't, there's obscurity. There's what? Obscurity. We don't know who the individual is that's between Mujahid and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It could be a Sahabi. If it's a Sahabi, if Mujahid said, an ahadin min ashabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he said, upon one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said kether or kether or kether, is it now accepted? Yes. It is. Because Mujahid is thiqqa. He's a tabi'i thiqqa. And then he's saying that he met the sahab. But if the tabi'i was da'if and he said ahad min ashabi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the issue is da'af of who? The tabi'i. That the tabi'i is weak. Is that clear? So the issue here is the obscurity of who Mujahid got that from. We don't know who he got that from. Whether he got that from someone from his tabaqa, or whether he got that from someone from the Sahaba. If he's from the Sahaba, khalas. Sahaba kulluhum mada? Udul. They're all trustworthy from the tazkiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ijma'. Allah made that ijma'. And that the thana and the praise in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, some of the ulama have said Allah majda ijma, the ayat and the tawatur of the ayat and the ahadith and so forth and the thana of the Sahaba, that they are trustworthy. So we have no issue if it's a Sahaba that's missing, but we just don't know if it is one. It could be a Sahabi, it could be a Tabi, and as I'm gonna we continue in this discussion, inshallah, it'll become bi'idhnillah clearer. Point number four is the ikhtilaf between ulama regarding the hadith al-mursal. The ulama, they differed whether regarding the ihtijaj, whether to take hadith mursal as a proof of not. Is it accepted? إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْوَالِ أَوْ مَذَاهِبِ. Yani there are three different madhahib, three different methods or methodologies as it relates to accepting or rejecting the ahadith or the hadith that's mursal. The first one is that is da'if. Al-qawl al-awwal, al-madhhab al-awwal, mursalu hadithun da'if, la yuhtaju bihi. That the hadith mursal is weak. You do not take it, it's not used as a proof. We do not use as evidence for our salah. We do not use our evidence for zakah, evidence for ibadat, mu'amalat, evidence for legislation or so forth, or an attribute to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's mursal, it's da'if. And this is mentioned by Imam Muslim in his muqaddimah. The muqaddimah in his sahih. And al-fikr, the muqaddimah of sahih is important. The muqaddimah introduction in sahih Muslim is why some of the ulama also praise sahih Muslim. Because that muqaddimah brings into a very succinct and comprehensive sense of the ilm of hadith, the science of, alhamdulillah, the science of hadith and so forth, and the importance of sticking to the sunnah. And in there, Imam Muslim mentions this. And likewise, Imam Shafi'i, in one of his statements, and Ibn Abd al-Barr as well, and Ibn Musayyib, rahimullah ta'ala, and a lot of the ulama of fiqh have said that. Naam. If it's other than a Sahabi that is mahdhuf, then it is da'if. But if it's found out that it's a Sahabi, then it is what? Accepted. And there's no difference in opinion regarding that. Al-madhab al-thani, أنه صحيح على إطلاق. And that is the Mursal Hadith is accepted. And that is the قول of Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa. The قول of Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa rahimullah. And also a statement that is taken from Imam Ahmed. أحد القول أقوال Imam Ahmed. And the madhhab al-thalith, the third methodology regarding the hadith mursal, and that is the madhhab of Imam Shafi'i. وَهُوَ قُبُولُ mursal مِنْ كِبَارِ تَابِعِينَ. And that is that Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he holds that it is accepted if it's from the elder, from the second generation, the tabi'i, if they're from the elders. And he has conditions regarding that, which is not the majal that we're going to go into right now, but Imam Shafi'i holds that it's from the kibar tabi'in, and this in itself is a discussion that is detailed, but we're not dealing with that right now. And anybody who wants to go back to that can go to Fatul Maghif of As-Sakhawi and a Nukat of Ibn Salah of Ibn Hajar, and it's mentioned briefly in Al-Ba'ith of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. But Al-Muhim, these are the three opinions. The first opinion is what? Is daif. For other than, if the one that's missing is other than who? The Sahaba. And number two, is accepted. And that's by who? Malik and Abu Hanifa. There's a statement of Malik that he says is weak as well, but there's two qawls. Maybe one's later than the other. And the third opinion is by who? Imam Shafi'i, where he says that يُقْبَلْ أَوْ يُحْتَاجُ بِمُرْسَلْ مِنْ كِبْلِ مَنْ. The elder, the kibar of the tabi'in. Okay, let me show you something. Sakhawi, rahimullah, he mentions a narration from a very nice narration, a few points rather, to show why the correct opinion is the first. And that is that the correct opinion is that it is not accepted. Okay, I'm going to mention two things that is mentioned. The first one is that which As-Sakhawi, he attributes to his sheikh. Who's his sheikh that we mentioned? When he says, Qala Shaykhuna, he's talking, and you read the books of Sakhawi and he says, Qala Shaykhuna, who's he talking about? Ibn Hajar, remember that. Qala Shaykhuna, like Ibn Qayyim, when he says, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his books, Qala Shaykhuna. Huh? Ibn Taymiyyah, nah. His most famous sheikh. He looked for his most famous sheikh. Walidhalika, this is what Sakhawi is saying in Fathul Maghith. Fathul Maghith, volume 1, page 256. Fathul Maghith, which is a sharh of Alfiyat al Hadith of Iraqi. Fathul Maghith, and that is volume 1, page 256. ولذلك قال شيخنا إن نعم نعم. He brings a narration, sorry, on طريق ابن مهدي عبد الرحمن بن مهدي عن ابن لهيئة أنه سمع شيخا من الخوارج يقول بعدما تاب إن هذه الأحاديث دين فانظروا أمن تأخذون دينكم فإن كنا إذا هوينا أمرا سيرناه حديثا. فهمتم؟ And that is that he said that a sheikh from the Khawarij who repented. He repented from the Aqidah and the methodology of the Khawarij. And he said that verily these narrations are religion. So we have to be cautious on who we take our religion from. Because we used to, yani when he was Khariji, if we had an affair, yani from the Aqidah and from the ideology, we would change it into a hadith. We would change it into a hadith. This is what the Khariji is saying. And Sakhawi then says, وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ شَيْخُنَا إِنَّ هَذِهِ وَاللَّهِ قَاسِمَةُ الظَّهَرِ لِلْمُحْتَجِينَ بِالْمُرْسَلِ. إذ بدعة الخوارج كانت في مبدأ الإسلام والصحابة متوافرون ثم في عصر التابعين ومن بعدهم وهؤلاء كانوا إذا استحسنوا أمرا جعلوه حديثا وأشاعوه فربما سمع الرجل الشيء فحدث به ولم يذكر من حدثه به تحسينا للظن فيحمل عنه غيره ويجد الذي يحتاج به المقاطع فيحتج به مع كون أصله أو مع كون أصله ما ذكرت ما ذكرت فلا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. He says رحمه الله that Ibn Hajar Shaykhana, he said that this is a big blast, a big refutation against those who use or say that Mursal should be taken as a proof. Yani this athar of the Khawarij. This athar of the Khawarij. And that is that the Khawarij, the bid'ah of the Khawarij started when? Huh? The beginning of Islam. And when we say Mursal, generally it's about what? The Tabi'i, sah? The Tabi'i, and that is the beginning. Nearer to the beginning of Al-Islam. And that is that they, hey, the Khawarij, if they had an ideology or something that they held, that they would change it into Hadith. So therefore, when we have Mursal, and then we have a space between the Tabi'i and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it could be anyone in that. And from them, it could be one of the Khawarij that invented narrations and it became widespread and so forth. Another statement is that, or an issue that can make it clear that Mursal is la yuhtajabi, that we do not take Mursal as proof and evidence. And that is that the Tabi'i qad yarwi an tabi'in akhar. And that is that a tabi'i can narrate to another tabi'i. وَيَحْتَمَلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ دَعِيفًا. And it's possible that he can be weak. And this is from Fathu Maghith, page 251. Volume 1, page 251. وَهَلُّمَّ جَرَّ إِلَى سِتَّ أَوْ سَبْعَ. And that is that there are some narrations where you have six tabi'i. Can you imagine that? In one narration, you can have six tabi'i. So when you have a tabi'i saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, there could be five or six of them in that chain that we don't know. So that's a proof that Mursal should not be taken as evidence and proof, and it's da'if. And that is because the Malish, who says this? Sakhawi mentions this, but somebody else mentions it also, I can't remember, that the most tabi'i, the most number of tabi'is in one narration is six. In the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fu tatabbu', that there is a narration where there are six tabi'i in that narration. So could you imagine the possibility of there being a narration where it's mursal and they say qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It could be six missing, not just one. It could be six missing. So there is no doubt a possibility that they could be weak. And that hadith is the hadith of ma yata'alluq bi surah al-ikhlas. The hadith of that yata'alluq bi surah al-ikhlas, and that is in the musnad of Imam Ahmed and An-Nasa'i fi qira'ati qul huwa Allahu ahad. And yes, An-Nasa'i said, Imam An-Nasa'i said, rahimullah, ma a'rafu isnadan atwal min hadha. He said, I don't know an isnad that is longer than this. And Tirmidhi mentions it also in Bab ma ja'a fi surah al-ikhlas min abwab al-thawab al-Quran. And he said that the hadith is hasan. Kulluhum an Mansur ibn Mu'tamar tabi'i, an Hilal ibn Yusaf tabi'i, an Rabi' ibn Khaytham tabi'i, an Amr ibn Maymun tabi'i, an Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla tabi'i, an Imrah min al-Ansar tabi'iyya, and Abi Ayyub tabi'i. And the woman is the wife of Abi Ayyub. So we have all of these tabi'is, about six or seven of them in one chain, is a proof that we cannot take for granted when a tabi'i says what? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this shows that the correct opinion is one, two, or three. Huh? The first one now. After that, Ibn Mulaqin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, he says, وَمِنْهُمَا خُفِيَ إِرْسَالُهُ. And that is that Mursal is categorized into two categories. Mursal al-Jali wal Mursal al-Khafi. Mursal is categorized. Basically, Ibn Mulaqin here, to summarize, is categorizing the different categories of Mursal. Mursal al-Zahir is the one that we said, that the Tabi'in says, قَالَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mursal al-Khafi huwa al-Hadith alladhi rawahu rawin an man asarahu walam yasma' minhu walam yalqah. Mursal al-Khafi, which is like a hidden, discreet type of Mursal, it's not clear. The other ones are clear. When a Tabi says Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that clear? It's clear, sahih ola? So this is jelly, this is clear. But the one that's not clear is Mursal al-Khafi. And that is the hadith, alladhi, the hadith that the narrator, he narrates on someone who he lived in the same period. Asarahu, he lived in the same period, but he didn't hear from him. So for example, let me bring it practical sense here. We have, for example, a brother who lives in Wales, and another brother who lives in Glasgow. They lived at the same time. Huh? And somebody says that the brother in Wales narrated on the brother in Glasgow. When you think about it, you think they probably met, sah? This is Mursal Khafi, because they never met, for example, because obviously they live far apart. But they live in the same period. And this is Mursal Khafi. And that is the individual who narrates on another individual. Asarahu, number one, he lived in the same period. Walam yasma' minhu, number two, he didn't hear from him any hadith. Walam yalqah, number three, he didn't even meet him. So three things. Number one, asarahu, he lived in the same period. Number two, Lam yasma' minhu, he never heard from him, we don't have proof. And this is the point that Imam Bukhari was very firm and strict regarding. And the third one? Naam. Example of this, number two, that's number one, clear, just a general explanation of the whole thing. Is mithalu hadithu rahu ibn Majah min riwayati Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and Uqbah ibn Amir marfu'a. And there's a narration, for example, that's in Ibn Majah, that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and Uqba. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz did not meet Uqba, as is mentioned by Mizzi, Imam al-Mizzi. But they lived in the same time, but they didn't meet. So this isnad in Ibn Majah is called Mursal Khafi, and it's weak. And it's weak now. We can give you many examples, but I'm sure you got the gist, yes? I know. And again, if you want to go back and read more of this, Al-Muqni', go to Al-Muqni' of Ibn Mulaqin, and also Fathul Mughith, and likewise Al-Ba'ith as well, a little bit. But mainly in Al-Muqni', you'll find a lot of information regarding this. And also, في شرح النخبة شرح النخبة of الحافظ ابن حجر الأسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى. And with that we'll finish for today, and I believe we've done four affairs. What are they? The first one was الموقوف, and the second مقطوع, and the third منقطع, and the fourth Mursal. And sometimes Mursal Khafi, by the way, is called Munqati. It's called Munqati. Sometimes it's called Munqati. And also sometimes the ulama of the Mutaqaddimun, they use Irsal to mean Munqati as well. So they say Arsaluhu Mujahid. Yani Mujahid, there's Inqita. There's what? Inqita in the Isnad with Mujahid. Wadih? Again, when you're reading the books of the ulama, you need to know their manhaj and their methodology and the terminologies they use in order for us to understand what they intend in their hadith and so forth. Now, some questions I'd like to ask, if you don't mind. How many categories of mawquf are there as it relates to its ending? Two. The first, mawquf ila, mawquf mada? Sarih, and mawquf hukma. Mawquf sarih is what? Mawquf. Qali ibn Abbas. And hukman, from who? The Tabi'i, who mentioned something that is alluded that the Sahaba said. Okay? Marfu hukman, what's marfu hukman? A statement of the Sahaba, umirna. Any other one? We've been ordered, we were ordered to. Huh? Nuhina, we've been prohibited from. Another one. Huh? Or min as-sunnah, jayyid. Another one. When the Sahaba, they talk about something from the past. Jayyid. La majal lil ijtihad. Jameel. Okay. Mursal, is it hujja or la? Do we take the mursal as a form of proof or evidence? Yes? What is mursal in the first place? What is mursal? Someone here. Mursal. A tabi'i says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. Is it accepted? How many aqwal? Three opinions, yes? The first opinion. That is da'if. Who said that? Yeah, who said that is da'if? Imam Muslim mentions it in the Muqaddimah, and also who? Ibn Abd al-Barr, Naam, Jayyid. And Nawawi mentions it on a lot of the ulama. Imam Nawawi, or Nawawi mentions it on a lot of the ulama of hadith. Taib, second opinion, that is accepted. Who mentions that? Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa. And a qawl from Imam Ahmed. And number three, is accepted from the kibar, the elder tabi'een. Elder one like Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. No. There was something I forgot to mention, Abbas. The maratib of Irsal. Inshallah, maybe next week. Remind me, inshallah. The levels of Irsal. Okay, Tayyib. That's a third opinion, yeah? That's opinion of Imam Shafi'i. Because he holds that them being the kibar is more than likely that they got it from the Sahaba and Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this, the correct opinion is number one. Why? Two reasons why. It could be from a tabi'i. It could be anyone from the tabi, from that generation, sah, who may have, it could be a weak mawdu, a wada', it could be a thiqa maybe, it could be somebody whose hasan has weak memory, it could be anyone, but we don't know, so therefore, it is not accepted. Now, and also an example that Sakhawi mentions, what does he mention, to further elaborate this? Now, and what was that? Naam, the Khawarij, Jayyid, and also a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, a hadith regarding Surat al-Khas, which is in which book? Musnad of Imam Ahmed and Nasa'i. And what did Nasa'i say about it? It's the longest chain of narration that he's ever seen. Tayyib. And how many tabi's are there in there? Six. So what does that show us? There could be six rijal that we need to find out their level and their trustworthiness in order to even accept the hadith. It makes the issue of irsal very, very difficult to accept. No? There are some exceptions from the tabi'i. And inshallah, we'll. In fact, I'll let you do. I'll give you a bath. Shall I give you a bath? I want you to give me an example for next week, inshallah, of someone from who's considered a tabi'i, and he narrates from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's accepted. Someone who's a tabi'i from the second generation, he narrates from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's accepted. If you can find that, should I give you the way you can look for it? Look for it in the books I've mentioned today, one of them. Fatah al-Mughith, Ba'ith, and also look in Nukat of Ibn Salah. Yeah, I mean, he's accepted now. It's nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. It's totally different in its own. But ibhath. No, don't guess. Ibhath. And you find it, inshallah. Look in the books about Mursal. Read about it. Enjoy it. Inshallah. It's really interesting, inshallah. And that's it, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. To increase us in ilm. Wa ikhlas wa amal. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak. على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.